Welcome to Threads of Enlightenment, your journey into personal growth. The splendor of any decision is after you've made it. All that remains to be seen are its consequences. My name is Ken Primus. I am your host. Here at Threads of Enlightenment, we talk about the principles of self-development and personal growth. By having conversation with people who have walked through their journey of personal growth. We believe that everyone at some point in their life will have to deal with one or more of these principles to have the privilege of focusing on their self-development as humans. These principles, when applied, can help you to become the best self possible. Welcome to another episode of Threads of Enlightenment. It is my pleasure to have our Sifu here today. And as you know, what we do at Threads of Enlightenment, we welcome our guests. I believe these are the sages of today that visit our home and impart into us wisdom that you and I can utilize in our lives to take us to that next level so that we can become the best human spirits that we are and could be while we're here on this wonderful journey on this planet. And so it is my pleasure to welcome Sifu to Threads of Enlightenment. And I want you to introduce yourself to the people and tell them all the things that you have created today. And then we will take that journey and go back and walk our way back to today. And then you can share with us all of your journey and your victories so that we can partake with you as you have been through your situation. Thank you so much, Sifu, for coming at Threads of Enlightenment.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm truly honored to be here and be a part of celebrating your work and your ongoing efforts to bring more light to the world. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for your presence. Introduce yourself. Tell us about who you are, so we can get familiar with you and the energy that you have presented to us today.
Okay, very good. Well, my name is Rubia. Sifu is simply means teacher. So when we're in a class setting, students would address me as Sifu. But other than that, it's Rubia. And I am from Bangladesh. I was an orphan in Bangladesh right after the time that it became independent from Pakistan and in the mid-70s. And I was abandoned on a sidewalk and found by volunteers who were going around and finding babies abandoned everywhere on the street. So then brought to an orphanage in Dhaka, and then I was adopted into a Canadian family. Mm-hmm. And so most of my life in Montreal, Canada, and I'm now in Southern California, where I've been for 15 years.
Oh, wow.
It's a long time. It's getting a little long. I think I'm ready for a move. This is the longest, the most stability I think that I've had in my adult life. So it's very interesting. But California has been able to nurture and develop me into, you know, what I am today and who I am today in a very deep and profound way. So it's being here has been a very important part of my blueprint. So I'm here and I've been studying Tai Chi and Qigong for only 15 years since I arrived. Mm-hmm. And we've been studying yoga for maybe 20, mm-hmm. So a little bit more, longer. And through these practices, I mean, I love movement. So I love being in my body. So I started from that point where that was something that I need to do to be with myself and commune with myself and kind of go within. It was always natural for me to want that and need that expression. Mm-hmm. And I suffered a miscarriage in 2007, I think, or 2008. And my yoga practice wasn't helping me. It was actually hindering me. So I was getting back issues and whatnot. So from there, I decided to take a Qigong classes because I couldn't do yoga. Yeah. And where I was practicing and did my teacher training, they had a Tai Chi and Qigong program. So I started there, and it developed into a really healing practice because I managed to heal my back to a point where I could consistently or be consistent in not having it, you know, be in pain. Mm-hmm. But that took years. It took years to kind of establish that healing. And from there, I started doing Tai Chi. So the Qigong, if you study the words, Qi means prana, life force, and then Gong simply means to work and cultivate. So after developing a really nice, deeply rooting Qi practice, I found the playfulness and the fluidity of Tai Chi. And it was that Qi that I'd been working on, had a place to move and go in my Tai Chi practice. So that was a really beautiful, it continues to be a beautiful experience. And I found myself teaching pretty soon after I had done my official teacher training. And I feel like the experience of teaching is really the teacher training.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So our teacher trainings give us the tools and shape us, shape our bodies to the modalities, but your teaching, your training is by teaching. So, and I've been doing that for a little over 10 years.
Yeah, your art forms that you've picked, they're pretty, for me, again, we had a little conversation earlier. The art forms that you've taken is tremendous focus that it takes. And the basis is the way that you do the movement. It's very precise. People look at it and you may see some of the movements being slow, but it's very purposeful. And when you train your thoughts and your mind to do those things, I believe you become a powerful entity by which you then can move. I know of a situation, I've made this example before, when we were, I was at one of our presentation, martial arts presentation, this lady, she's about 4 feet and change. She came out, she also was a practitioner, came out, she did her meditation and movements and stuff like that. And then she sat down on the floor and no one could move her. It was a fascinating thing as a young man to witness, to see that the power that someone can harness when you focus your mind and on your breathing technique, on everything. And martial arts to me is one of the foundations that helped me to move from my space, because my life was a mess at certain points. I allowed my life to get a mess, and martial arts and meditation helped bring me back into sanity, into a real world to begin to
live. It sure does.
So talk to us. Yeah, I know you mentioned briefly some of the things of your childhood, and being in that space, I am sure you had a wonderful opportunity to had some wonderful thoughts that govern your life, or how you related to people based on that. How did you overcome some of those thoughts to learn to accept people and to deal with people? Because again, life presents us with opportunities to grow. And so we have these things that
happen. But we don't always know it at the time.
Oh, no.
We don't always know it clearly at the time.
Because we don't live in this state of awareness. We're not aware. We're not a species that live in this space of awareness until stuff starts to happen. And then we begin to live. I call it a purposeful living. where we've now began to live purposefully. Yeah.
Purposefully, and joyfully.
Yes, and joyfully, and all of those things, because I believe when we begin to do those things is because we are making decisions. We have been able to empower ourselves through whatever, and we have began to make.
Well, you said it. That's the key word. That's the key word is decision. You make the decision to stop and try something else, or to do better, or to create something beyond your circumstance. So, but it has to be a clear decision, and it has to be unwavering. There has to be action tied behind it, discipline.
Yes.
And the result of it and the has to be greater than whatever the other is. Mm-hmm. So when you find yourself in that equation, that's when things happen. Until then, you're going back and forth with yourself and I think torturing yourself essentially. Yes. Like, as long as you're not making clear decisions, you're in a state of torture.
Yes, I believe that.
Internally. So I've been studying and producing some courses on Qigong, and we'll talk about that again. But I'm bringing this up because I'm tying some very specific Qigong movements to the yamas and niyamas.
Yes,
and you know, one of the niyamas is self-study and self-discipline. If you don't have those two, it's difficult to achieve all other. So martial arts is a gateway to discipline. Mm-hmm. Certainly if you have some heavy teachers like I have. I mean, my teacher training was a little militant, but well, it was a lot militant.
Yeah.
But it served a purpose.
Yes.
You know, you have to break down to break through.
Yes.
So
it's the habits that have become habitual, or it is such a part of our personality that we don't notice it. People call it, I believe that certain people come into our life to make us aware of our scotomas, our blind side, that it's such a part of us that we are not capable of seeing them. And then we would have a friend or a teacher or someone that will make us aware of it. And because of who we are, our first response is to bite their heads off and call, you know, whatever, because someone has just touched a sensitive part of our being, and to make us aware of it. And for me, it took me a while to understand the purpose of why people are in my life. And as I learned the purpose of my friends, I was able to receive those scotoma corrections much more graceful than yelling and screaming at my friend, you know, cussing up a storm. I received it as, well, thank you for making me aware of that. I'm going to, and I would make a statement. I would say, I would place that in the forefront of my thoughts so that I can meditate on it and to begin to make this.
Well, that's a sure sign of an enlightened approach or a transcended approach to. We can only wish that for people. It takes time to get there. It takes a lot of, again, I come back to self-discipline and honestly, it can come down, for me, it comes down to a couple of things. Just be responsible, you know, be responsible for the energy and the projections that you bring to any given moment. Take ownership of those, gain the knowledge and tools to be able to stop yourself in the moment to, you know, that's why breathing techniques are so important.
Yes.
I mean, everything starts with a pranayama practice or a breathing practice, and it's from there that the movement comes, and then you're in a space of flow and co-creation, and you just grow from there, but taking the time to start. And also you have to just want it more. I mean, I was a smoker for a long time, and if it is up to me, but every day I choose not to.
Yes.
Because I would easily go back to smoking, you know, even if it's a half a pack of cigarettes a day, I still have the desire to do it. That's what addiction does. But you make a mindful choice every day not to smoke. You make a mindful choice every day to either sit down or go for a walk. Every moment is a choice.
I usually, having a podcast, I tell the people, Sifu, that the breath, what I learned from doing the breathing exercises and having that breath, it's a purposeful breath. It's the transition. It's the bridge between the natural and the supernatural. It is simply a breath and it's a bridge. And if you, again, this theme that we've been talking about, a purposeful life, and I'll tell you what I've been learning as I've been interviewing all these people and reading and all those things, I noticed something about the thread that is common amongst all of them. And even in my readings of history and all the different sages and so forth, is that most people do not have a statement of faith that guides their life. Let me explain what that means. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, the translation that they have in the Bible is, declare a thing and it shall be established. But I like studying language and the root of things, and the original language does not say that. It says to decide a thing and it shall be established. And to me, that is the best translation, is the pureness of it. You can see when you put it that way, in my mind, I can see it much more clearer than declaring a thing, because you have to decide first before you declare. And so you and I have statements, and I believe that statements of faith governs our life. Some, you know, like let's take a Tiger Woods, maybe. We say that he, as a young child, says, I want to be a golfer. I want to do this. That's his statement of faith. And then he began this journey to get to that statement of faith that he has expressed. And so it is a hard journey, like you said. It is a place of making decisions. Until you get there, guys, for me, the picture that I can get in my life is that you are a boat without a rudder, because that boat without that rudder is not making decisions, basically. It's just being tossed back and forth based on the wind at the time. But once that rudder is involved in it, that rudder being the power of choice, you now make the decision as to where you want the boat to go. And so a lot of people are living this life without that rudder. They're not making those decisions. So like you're saying, it's every day, and it is not an easy life, but it's a rewarding life. It is a joyful place. It is a place that is not mundane. I think the mundaneness are those without rudder.
I hear you. And it's increasingly more difficult to find those places of stillness, especially with the way that we're just being bombarded all the time by like our collective nervous system, our collective electricity is constantly being
bombarded,
assaulted. Yes. And I'm not just talking about the individual, I'm talking about the collective. We are constantly being assaulted. And it's definitely more difficult now. I mean, even when I started these practices just 15 years ago or 20 years ago, it wasn't the day that we have today. I wasn't bombarded. Like, my senses weren't accosted every moment of the day. So it's a different world. We're in a different world that's constantly changing. And it's important to talk about these very simple practices and disciplines to ground us, to find a place where we can settle into and soften the hard edges. That's exactly what it is for me. It's a practice where I settle into, that I can fall into. For myself, and creating that, I've done that in discipline and in reverence for my own healing.
It's a place of power,
because the alternative was to It was too bad. It was too horrible, like, to go down a path of, you know, self-destruction and addiction and all of that stuff. You know, many people will understand what I'm saying. But
place of solitude is power. If you read any of the sages and the books of those religious leaders, or as we were talking in the onset of the program, I studied a lot of the martial artists, the ones that started the forms, and many of them would be in a place of solitude for hours. I saw this woman, a 4 foot and change woman, present and place herself in a place of solitude. I use the example as a Christian. Jesus Christ did most of his miracles after he went into a place of solitude. He came out and he walked on water. It is the place that where we gain our power. And I don't believe the collective that are programming us want us to get to that place. And it is our responsibility.
No, absolutely not.
That's what we're talking about. It is our responsibility to put ourselves in that place, because it is a place that we gain our freedom. As you were saying,
there are many, I mean, well, first of all, no one's reinventing the wheel here. I'm not here to share anything new. I'm sharing, these are ancient technologies.
Yeah.
Qigong and Tai Chi are ancient, thousands of years old. Yoga is a system that's thousands of years old. But it's the consistent study of it that has proven itself. I'm not here to prove anything to anyone. I'm just sharing my story and how the physicality has changed my whole outlook. But I wanted it to. I was invited. I see these modalities as invitations to explore the self, explore the world around you. These are definitely modalities that heighten your senses, mm-hmm. so you definitely become more aware of your environment. You become more self. It's your first line of defense, essentially.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Your health is your first line of defense. Yep. So it's all tied in together when you look at it from that perspective of it's this self-defense.
How did you, you had mentioned earlier that about smoking and all of these different things that you had, how did you in your practice, because you said you've been doing these things for a while, you were still practicing. Then you were still smoking while you were doing this, the teaching and learning brought you your freedom from smoking.
Well, that's an interesting thing because in addiction, when you're dealing with addiction, one of the first things when you've gone through like the detoxing and the process, the initiation mm-hmm. of relieving yourself from the grips of addiction, because you're an addict forever. Like you're an addict.
Yeah.
I still talk about wanting to smoke.
Mm-hmm.
That's because my body's addicted to it.
Yeah.
Right. Where was I going with that? I lost my train of thought. You were asking me about environment.
Yeah.
So changing your environment. And I had to change my environment in order to do that. But the universe changed it for me. It brought me to California, and nobody smokes in California. Nobody smokes here. So I was thrusted into it. You know, I had weaned myself to becoming a social smoker, or at least trying to convince myself that I was a social smoker. And then when I arrived here, it was just like the environment just wasn't conducive to it.
Yeah.
So changing your environment is a big piece,
mm-hmm.
and whatever it takes, whatever that means, and whatever it takes for that to happen for your own well-being, go forth.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. I tell people that because I've had conversations with people for I'm 60 years old, and so we've had conversations about life and all of these different things. When I sit down with my friends, and I would tell them that meditation was one of the keys that helped me to move from my space, and I was able to manage my day in my space of meditation. I was able to control my energy. And as I began more of a practitioner of controlling my energy, that when I got up from that space and I began to move into my corporate world with the suits on and all of those things, it was still my responsibility to govern my energy. And trust me, there in that corporate America space, in my position as the director of marketing and development, there was lots of opportunities presented to me every 10, 15 minutes to get me unhooked from that space. But it was my responsibility. And you have to become this guard upon your energy. And this is why I say, and we've talked about this, this purposeful living. It is every day. It is every second of the day. It's every minute of the day that your life becomes a purposeful life instead of one that is drifting without the rudder. That rudder to me, as I mentioned to you, is that power that gives us the decision to say no. And that's why I believe that or even to say yes, I believe that verse that says, decide a thing, whatever that thing is, and it shall be established. It's going to become real. Why? Because you took ownership of it. You you decided and you took ownership. And that because you took ownership, you will begin to make it manifest. And that is a powerful way to live.
There's, it is, absolutely. I have a couple of things in my line of sight as I work on my computer. There are certain little quotes that I have. And then one of them is, every day stand guard at the door of your mind. And quoted by Tony Robbins, I didn't create that. I didn't write it. Said through him, and he may have been quoting someone else. In any case, I didn't come up with it. So that's very close to, it's in my peripheral vision. So there are certain things that it's important to do that, to find what you need to keep you disciplined in your goal, whatever your goal is, and definitely start small. I'm here to help people heal. I know that's part of my divine, you know, calling. So sharing I think sharing our stories is what helps people, essentially.
I believe so. And that is one of the threads, is so that your wisdom mingled with mine, mingled with all the others that present and all the people that have been through their journey, as we create this tapestry of knowledge that our audience and people that are around us are able to then extract what they need from your point of view, from my point of view, from someone else's, because they will then be able to extract that and begin to implement some of it into their lives and create their own journey. And then we then rely on them to put back into that tapestry so that someone else can
that's how it works. Know, and that's how you realize we're not, that's how you realize we're not disconnected.
No, we're one.
That we all share similarities. You know, we all share a pulse and that same heartbeat. So, yeah,
we all emanated from the same.
There's a lot of this. I have a lot of hope for the future. It's a dark time right now, but it's always darkest before sunrise.
Yep, right. It is. The process of living.
So,
So talk to us about some of the healing, because I know what it does is when a practitioner incorporates both, all three of those disciplines that you have alluded to, having that approach, how have you been able to present it? Like I said, we take all these different things and we bring them into our being, and then we prepare this wonderful dish that is able to, we are then able to serve to others. Talk to me about your dish that you have created with a blend of these these three disciplines that you have before you. How do you when someone present to you needing guidance and help in your class, how do you then serve them that dish?
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, when people show, are you talking about? I mean, is the question around when someone shows up to class,
yes,
or mm-hmm. someone shows up
yeah.
to learn?
Okay, to learn.
So you say dish, and I say garden. So it's, I mean, it's one of the same, right?
Yeah.
So I've planted certain seeds in my garden, and you know, some flowers died along the way, and some bloomed.
Yeah.
So it's really, you know, I may have mentioned this earlier, but to me, Tai Chi has always been an invitation to discover.
Yeah.
You know, it's a practice that forever will always meet you where you're at. It doesn't try and get ahead of you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always there to meet you wherever you are on your own personal journey. And so I work with people intuitively. So,
yeah.
And I've always taught small classes. I always limit my classes to 8 students,
mm-hmm.
8 or 12 students at most, because I like to tune into people and observe what they're going through, so I can help them move through something. So, I mean, my approach to sharing this work is really for it to be an invitation of discovery
mm-hmm.
for the student who shows up. So if they approach it, if people approach Tai Chi, yoga, Qigong, whatever practice that you want with first of all, sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
So be sincere in your intention, be curious.
Yeah.
I think when we're curious, we're playful and we're creative. So bringing in that energy, is important, and, being mindful, you know, it's a process.
Mm-hmm.
You just start, take your first step, take your, and sometimes it clicks with people and sometimes it doesn't. So it's, I think, more important to find something for you that allows that energy of curiosity, that ignites an energy of curiosity and playfulness and creativity and you know, healing. You hold space for people. You have to hold space for people and allow their process to happen.
Yeah.
I don't know if I hope that answers your question.
It does. I think, and I believe that we are all traumatized to some degree in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And that we need to find tools to help us heal, whether it's in the space of martial arts, whether it's in the space of yoga, whatever that space is, that there are millions of them. But whatever resonates with your spirit, that is the place that you should call home. And that is the place that you need to reside. And that is the place you need to grow and become. And you mentioned,
and manage to live in the chaos.
Yes.
You know, chaos will always exist. So you're not trying to fight the chaos.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to live in harmony with the chaos.
Yes.
Hence the symbol yin and yang, you know, that the whole experience of it is all about ebbing and flowing and allowing and finding equanimity and not denying one for the other.
Chaos, I think, drives us to find the other aspect of it, because the chaos burns us out, causes us to have sicknesses and disease. That energy that we have, because we are an energetic being, and when that energy is turned into a negative aspect, it manifests in diseases in our bodies that we have to learn through martial arts, like what you are studying, different things to expel those energies and those movements and those purposeful expansion of your energy and movement and stuff like that, is to move that chi, as they say.
So, remove stagnation.
Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, and the qigong is very simple and very effective.
Mm-hmm.
I know that yoga can be a little intimidating to people, and you can injure yourself if you're not guided through with the proper teacher. So people are turned off by yoga in many ways, but Qigong is very simple, and it's definitely a starting point.
Yeah.
It's definitely a beautiful starting point, and it will open you up to something else. That's guaranteed. What? I don't know. I can't say, but it's a gateway.
Yeah.
Qigong is a gateway, and it has such a gentle way about it that if you haven't moved for a long time, and I'm talking like even decades, if you haven't moved your body in a mindful way in a long time, yoga would be a little intimidating, whereas Qigong can be a little more welcoming and forgiving if you haven't moved in a long time. So, and our bodies are crystallized emotions. So whatever our emotions are locked up, it shows up in our body somehow. And you were just saying that. So I'm just adding to,
it is,
to that part of it.
It's a good place to anything that will help you to gain control of your thoughts, to any practice, whatever that practice is, that allows you to become guided to take control. I think it was in a book that I read, it says, we are godlike in this fashion that we are able to control our thoughts. Any practice that allows you and I to gain focus. So gaining its control is to learn to develop a strong focus, so that we don't.
Yeah, that's the approach that I would bring to the table, is maybe not necessarily try and control, because I personally don't come from that school of control, because everything that I practice is about losing control or letting go of control and become an observer. I think if we learn to become an observer of our mind and our thoughts and of our behaviors, of our steps. I mean, Tai Chi, walking meditations taught me how to walk again. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember the first class where we did like they called it walking drills, but it's also, you know, a walking meditation, just to walk very slowly and mindfully and learn how to shift your weight in a different way. The more you cultivate that, you literally move through the world in a different way. So, but it's taking the time to observe what's going on and reframing the neural pathways and changing the way that your body responds to outside stimulus. So again, I don't come from the approach of controlling. I'm more from the approach of observing and learning different approaches to approach thought, my thought, action, all of that.
Yeah. Sifu, I have a question. Now
that reaction.
Now that we have this, the onset of the virus, and it has changed that personal one-on-one. Are you putting together a class whereby a tool whereby someone can get to you, or you can teach them online and stuff like that? Do you have those type of things available?
So yes, everyone's had to pivot in 2020.
Yeah.
So I went out and discovered a whole new set of tools for myself. I got into technology and video editing and software and drones and cameras and all of that fun stuff. So, but very, a lot of fun. I was in a state of play for sure, and discovery and learning curves. So I've produced some online courses that are based on my experience teaching beginners for a long time. And I love teaching beginners, and I love being a beginner. So all of that experience kind of comes through in these courses. So they're very practical. I like to start from a practical standpoint, because I don't want to necessarily overwhelm people with philosophy and all of that. That can be, it can be touchy, and I don't bring that to class. I'm very practical, because the results will be found in the practice and the practical aspects of the work. So So these courses are very practical. Again, specifically for beginners, they're very descriptive. The Tai Chi course is broken down into 10 sections, 8 minutes long. So it's very easy to consume and go at a gentle pace. And then I'm very accessible online. So people reach out to me and we set up a Zoom appointment. And if at that point we start talking about philosophy and what's going on and, getting into a little bit more of the depth of what the practitioner wants to develop or what they're looking for, then we do that together. So people can reach me. Is this a good time to talk about my website?
Or no, go ahead. Talk about everything.
Should I give people the website so they can
please.
They can go to
we will provide it as well.
Tai Chi. It will be in your show notes, I'm sure. And you'll have your own links for all your listeners. So Tai Chi, www.taichiwellness.online. So TAICHIWELLNESS.online. And there's an intro. There's information on me. There's information on Tai Chi and Qigong and some books, recommendations for reading. And then all of the courses are there. I'm also offering, starting in the spring, I'm offering a sliding scale. So I want to make it accessible for everyone. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be set up. And by the time this airs, it should be set up. And if it's not, then make sure to reach out to me and we'll work something out. There's a contact page. Again, I'm super accessible. I'm very accessible. So yeah, taichiwellness.online. So I'm bringing on new courses in the future. I spoke about it earlier. Bridging Qigong, specific Qigong movements to the Yamas and the Niyamas. I've been studying astrology for the past year and a half, and I'm bridging Qigong and the language of astrology and kind of circling back to everything we were just talking about and just putting intention behind movement and becoming the the alchemist and the manifester of what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
So I'm creating a course bridging, the houses, planets, aspects. And I think that's it. And the signs, astrological signs, so Capricorn, Pisces, all that stuff. So that's in the works. That's why it's not super fresh in my mind right now. But you'll find information on that course there, even though it's not launched yet. So
excellent. We'll keep them abreast because I'll stay in touch so that we can make them aware of all the new things. And that's the beauty about being a creator. I always mention anyone has ever listened to me, they've heard me say this before, that once you have begun creating, creator we're excited to create new things. And so once we are awakened, it will always be different. A year from now will be totally different. We are just starting. We're just beginning.
Thank you for bringing that up because it's finding that creative space.
Yeah.
And we are creation.
Yes.
We are born of creation. We're born of the stars. We're born of all of that fundamental organic energy. Mm-hmm. And we lose that along the way with, social conditioning and all of that stuff. So tapping back into our creative, second chakra energy.
Yeah.
There's just a whole other world that opens up to you once you.
Yeah. And it's joyful.
At least receive it.
It's exciting. Yes. All those things that you mentioned, because for me and the expectation, there's an expectation of living that is totally different than when you're just drifting. And it's really, for me, that's where the joy is mingled in there. And it brings a smile on your face because you just don't know, but you're excited that something is there and you sense it, this awareness is there. And so your life becomes so much more tasteful, so much more joyful, as we say, is so much more beauty in it. There is hardship.
You become magnetic.
Yes, there's hardship, it is not dominating our thought life. Our perspective has changed. We now take this hardship that is presented to us and encircle it with a different perspective, and we take ownership of it. It becomes beauty because we then change the form that of that energy that presented. We change the form in how we perceive
it. We change the form.
And we change
exactly.
The form.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, beautifully said.
It's a beautiful life process once you're in the midst of it. And once you're aware of what is going on, life becomes beautiful, man. Is nothing like it.
Yeah, and you, as long as you allow it to happen, you have to give yourself permission to go through the good, bad, and the ugly.
Yes.
You know, you have to respect the cycle of everything is cyclical. Yeah. Everything is cyclical.
Yes.
And nothing is permanent. I think people get stuck in the fear will cripple you and debilitate you.
Yeah.
So it's just you're having a moment, you're in a moment, that moment is transient, it's moving,
yeah.
It's moving, let it move through you, let it move, and get out of the way.
Yeah. See, through this life is temporary, isn't it? It's just, we're here, for about 60 years, 80 years, 90 years, it's a temporary situation, it's not.
And even that, it's such a drop in the bucket.
Yeah.
You know, like time is such a weird thing.
For who we are as an entity, the energy that we are, 90 years on this particular plane is nothing. Because when we when we move from this plane to the next, we are then embarking on a totally different sets of adventures based on, in that new place where we are.
There's Deepak Chopra. I remember him saying, think of life as when you're waking up from a dream. So you've gone to sleep, you've rested your body, you've had a dream, and you wake up and you think, oh, that was an interesting dream.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the same process happens when we leave our physical body.
Yeah.
That it's such a flash in the grander perspective that when we wake up, we'll just look back and say like, oh, that was interesting.
Yeah.
And then we're on to our next, you know, dimensional facet and whatever work we're here to continue on doing, but we shouldn't get attached to. And we can talk about non-attachment as well, but
yeah,
that's the other thing. People are attached to too many things.
Yeah.
They're attached to outcomes. They're attached to what they think they see, what they think they own.
We are programmed.
You know, when you let go of
one of the things that I discuss about the letting go, that tremendous battle, and I usually always use this example, and again, it's because of my upbringing, and I bring to them Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he was there. He had this battle about letting go. And he didn't want to let go so bad that he sweat blood. He was sweating blood because that battle was, I gotta let go. And eventually from this exchange that he's having, he eventually said, okay, not my will, not my desire, but your will, your desire. I'll go through it. And so I use that to bring into our space that sometimes we're going to have to sweat blood to let go because we hold on to these things for dear life. And until we let go, we're not going to see the purpose of it all. We're not going to understand the purpose of and the power that is housed within that letting go, coming to a place where you just go, okay, I got to let this go. It changes our lives. And so Sometimes we just have to sweat blood, Sifu, you know.
Well, the practice of Tai Chi is all about letting go. Yeah. And I think that's the biggest lesson that the practice gave me is, victory goes to the one who knows how to yield. Yes. And Tai Chi is all about the feminine, the yielding, the redirecting, and just, you know, softly receiving and there's no hardness. There's no, that's where Kung Fu comes in. Yeah. So you have these Kung Fu masters who have mastered their Kung Fu, and then they get to their Tai Chi and they're baffled. Mm-hmm. They it's very difficult to come down from a high level Kung Fu practice. But it's necessary.
Yeah.
It's necessary. So yeah, victory will go to those who know how to yield.
I want to thank you so much, Sifu, for presenting at Threads of Enlightenment. It has been a wonderful conversation, and I do appreciate all that you have deposited to us at this podcast. And it is my hope that those that are listening would get in touch with Sifu, that she may be able to take you to that next level, and so that you can be a part of this tapestry that we're creating, and that you would one day turn around and be a teacher, a Sifu, if you wish, if you may, mm-hmm. and turn around and help others to stand up, because I believe that is the greatest gift that we can yes. receive as we are moving from one space to another, is to be able to sit down yes. and have conversations with people, to become a teacher, and to share wisdom and knowledge. A beautiful dance, and I thank you so much for coming and dancing with us today.
A true honor.
And,
thank you.
I appreciate all that you've done and deposit. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Everyone who's listening to this broadcast, we hope to continually help you to learn how to embrace moments of darkness, because it is in the darkness that we learn how to develop and use our abilities to truly see those parts of ourselves, often invisible to us, in the light. It becomes your responsibility to navigate through all of your trials to find out who you truly are and begin your journey to loving yourself, which is possibly one of the most difficult things you will ever do in your life. To love yourself and to find the real you. But always remember to enjoy the journey. Thank you for coming by. Please subscribe. And if you can support us financially, we deeply appreciate it. You can do this by hitting the heart button. Until next time, invite your family, friends, neighbors, anyone that you can. You can hear us on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Music, iHeartRadio, CastBox, Overcast, and many more. Mm-hmm.